part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
This episode of the Chase Smith Podcast, proudly part of the Press Play Podcast Network, is brought to you by a presenting sponsor, Uproar Coaching. Let me guess, you're ready to get serious about your goals and you're looking for accountability support, but you don't have the time or the tolerance for the chit chat. You're busy balancing work and life and home and all that other crap, and your to-do list isn't getting any shorter. You've been talking about making that career leap, finishing that creative project, kicking that bad habit, but you simply don't have the time and energy to invest in yourself. Listen, Uproar Coaching gets you. You are busy. What if I told you you can get maximum accountability with minimal commitment? Productivity without punishment. Uproar Coaching's Busy Bitch program brings you all of the good stuff you'd get from a weekly hour-long coach session, minus the conversation. Here's how it works. Each Friday morning for 5 weeks, you'll receive an email with three prompt questions. Take 10 minutes to answer those questions. That's it. By Monday, midday, you'll receive a personal reply offering support and challenging those limitations you're putting on yourself. This is Productivity Supercharged. And let me tell you, once you meet Carrie, you're going to want her to speak positivity and motivate you to accomplish your goals. She's authentic, enthusiastic, and genuine. She's the real deal. So go to uproarcoaching.com today, click on Work With Me, and find the Busy Bitch program. Listeners of the Chase Smith Podcast receive 10% off her Busy Bitch program by using promo code P3 at checkout. Again, visit uproarcoaching.com today to learn more. Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast, proudly part of the Press Play Podcast Network. In this episode, I interview Damon Royster, host of Podcast 616, your podcast for all things Marvel, right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. We talk about Phase 4, the state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and look ahead to Phase 5 and 6. Let's get it! Here with me, I had to bring in a good friend for this podcast episode because Marvel Phase 4 is coming to an end, and a lot of conversation has been going on around the TV shows, around the movies, around the lack of direction. So we brought in the host here on the Chase Smith Podcast, the host of the 616 podcast here in the Press Play Podcast Network. He's currently in the process of updating his Twitter bio. He is, ladies and gentlemen, Damon Royster. Damon, what's up, man?
Hello, Chase Smith. Hello, the world. How are you?
You know, carrying the weight of the world listening on the pod, I'm not doing too bad.
I mean, you look great. You look great. You look like you don't have the world on your shoulders. It's impressive, I must say.
Well, you know, it's what can I say? You got the world 7 billion listeners. It's just you just don't think about it.
And there's nothing about it.
Don't think about it. Well, hey, I do want to think about a little bit of Marvel because we last talked, Damon, in April, right as you were launching 616 with us, mm-hmm. and the Thor for Love and Thunder teaser just dropped. We were so excited. We talked about it. And that was before kind of a lot of these movies had been released.
Yeah, that was even before Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness had come out. And we've texted offline. I know how you feel, but we have yet to record our thoughts. And I think that's a crime, and we should rectify that.
We have yet to record our thoughts on my podcast. You guys are killing it on the 616 feed. Listen, if you love Marvel, if you enjoy watching Marvel on Disney Plus, going to Marvel movies, or just want to hear some awesome commentary, check out Podcast 616 on the Press Play Podcast Network with Damon. He always has incredible dais of friends and comedians to help talk about the shows and the movies. It is an incredible time. Check it out. So Damon, but I want to talk about it on this podcast. I get a little jealous of all the fun you guys have because I like talking about Marvel too.
Oh, and I love making people feel jealous. So it's working out for me. But
I'm also
please.
Jealous because I've never gotten an invite. Like, I'm always like, hey, let's talk on my pod and then we can talk about it. But it's okay. You're mission accomplished. Jealous over here.
Huh. That's great. I never thought about that. Interesting. Huh.
No, it's because I know enough to be dangerous and enough to have a conversation. All right. So Phase 4 is coming to an end, Damon. There's one more movie, which I think has the potential to maybe dethrone Spider-Man as the best Phase 4 movie. I think that's the expectation of Wakanda Forever here in November. A lot of different thoughts on the Disney Plus series. It seems to be hit or miss. Same with the movies for that matter. Damon, what is just your overall takeaway of Marvel Phase 4 post Endgame Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War Saga, whatever it was called?
Marvel Phase 4 is like a bus station or a Grand Central Station. We're just like, we're transitioning from, you know, Phase 3 and Thanos, and we're getting on to new modes of transportation to take us to different locales. It's a phase that is transitioning the franchise into somewhere new. That sounded pretty smart, and I'm glad I said it. it's fine. I think it's fine, but I think it was always going to be fine. Like, how we time traveled, we unsnapped a snap that couldn't be unsnapped, and we lost Cap, we lost Black Widow, we lost Iron, we lost Tony Stark. I still cry when I think about that. We needed this. We needed this kind of like a bit of a slog, but just like, let's just deal with those feelings and emotions from Endgame and get ready for this next journey, which I believe, I mean, we're building up to now. We know the Kang Dynasty, and that's on soon to be in our lives in about less than 5 years.
Yes. Yes. And I think one of the big takeaways from Phase 4 is, how does this connect? What's everyone doing? And I think probably with Wakanda, maybe even She-Hulk, which just dropped on Wednesday, depending on whenever you're listening, Wednesday, August 17th, we're going to start seeing some connections because Phase 4 is coming to an end. But Damon, you touched on something there that I don't want to just skim over. Phase 4 finds these superheroes, the world, nay, the world, right? Dealing with what just happened in Endgame and Infinity War. And I think this phase will it will age better than it is right now. I think looking at the big picture, we're going to say, oh, that makes sense. Like, you can't just jump straight into something else. Now, whether they need to have as many titles in this phase with the TV shows is a whole nother conversation. But I think as Marvel continues to grow, this phase won't – this will be the – worst outlook this phase has currently right now. I think it'll age better as we move forward, just being with these people, nay the world, as they're dealing with what just, oh, I had to, the third time's coming, you just got to wait for it.
Can't wait.
Rule of three. Yeah, but I think it'll just age better as it kind of, we continue on here.
I would agree. Like, even you listed the movies to me before we started recording Phase 4, and I was like, oh, that it feels like more. I think it's the TV shows that are making it feel like it's been going on for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a reasonable amount of movies over the last 2 years. And I think what we're watching is, you know, the MCU is like reestablishing kind of the status quo of like, this is what the world is like after half the population disappeared and then returned 5 years later.
Back to normal. What is the normal?
What is the new norm? The new normal, which we're all going through in life, because Marvel is a mirror to our world. I'm sorry if that's too deep.
I do have
much more fun on my Marvel podcast. Sorry.
Oh, I'm having fun.
Okay, good.
Gosh. Note to self: Damon does not have fun on my podcast.
Oh no, he wrote a note.
No. I think the lack of overall connectivity, the lack of like meta connectivity with the shows and the movies and the volume, it's kind of created this perfect storm of what's going on, what's the direction, where are we headed? And it's just, it's lasted since, well, WandaVision kicked off officially Phase 4 in March of 2021. So about a year and a half. And at first you're like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Like, what's WandaVision doing? Like, and we saw her kind of connect with Doctor Strange, and it just seemed like a lot, and there wasn't a ton of like connection. And I'm wondering if there was a little more like Phase 4 connectivity, if we wouldn't enjoy it more. Like, one of the things I've noticed and I kind of read is there's a celestial just chilling half out of an ocean, and it hasn't been mentioned in a year.
Yeah.
Right. No, that might be brought up in Wakanda Forever if they do go the underwater world and stuff. I don't know.
Which, oh boy, that's my one fear for Wakanda Forever, the Aquaman connection of it all. Because I know it's not Aquaman. It's what's his name? Namor? Namor? Namor.
Yes. I'm just going to agree with
you. You know, the fishy guy, the underwater guy.
The Marvel Aquaman.
Yeah.
I was fine with that.
Marvel's Aquaman. It's a little makes me nervous. What I said to my friend when she brought this up of her fear of the Fishman, I will say that I want to get the name Ryan Coogler. Cool. Oh my God, the guy who directed the first Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. I gotta remember his name. This is so embarrassing.
Yeah, Coogler, I think. Yeah,
Coogler. Yeah, Ryan Coogler. You know, if I directed one of the biggest superhero movies of all time that had such a big impact on, you know, about Marvel culture and Black culture, and it was the first Marvel movie to be nominated for Academy Award for Best Picture, if I did that and I put all my ducats in the Fishman for the sequel, I think that'd be crazy. So I just keep telling myself, like, if I had to helm this massive movie, I probably wouldn't make it Aquaman meets Black Panther, but you never know.
Well, not only that pressure, but replacing Black Panther, uh-huh. like, what are they going to do with that? I think that is more of a pressure than how are we going to include fish people in the Marvel world.
And yet when I watch the trailer, all I see are fish people riding whales, coming up from water. And oh God, I can only imagine what kind of fish language they'll be speaking. Anyway, I'm worried for the future, Chase, but I have hope.
I'm excited. I trust Coogler. You know, how they're going to handle Chadwick's passing is going to be touching. It's going to be, I think it's going to be emotional for a lot of people. And I trust him to be able to do that well.
Yeah. I mean, Chase, have you been to an AMC theater recently? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Nicole Kidman Heartbreak Feels Good in a Place Like This?
Yes.
I want to feel that. I want to go to the movies and feel my heartbreak and have it feel good in a place like that.
That was an incredible Nicole Kidman.
Thank you. No one ever asked me to do my Nicole Kidman. So.
I got to say, that was pretty spot on. That was pretty spot on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So what's been your biggest gripe with Phase 4?
Biggest gripe with Phase 4? You know, I definitely feel you on the inconsistencies. Like, if you wanted to shift over to, like, Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. When I finished WandaVision, I don't know if I necessarily saw this big heel turn coming where Wanda was a villain. And it, I mean, it could tangent, like, I was like, okay, I could see this, but, you know, much like, I don't know if you were a Game of Thrones fan, but the final, were you?
I have a confession, Damon.
Chase is dry heaving at the thought of watching Game of Thrones.
I'm not dry heaving. I've seen 1.5 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Okay, I guess you were reading a book in 2013. Anyway, but
I've also never seen any episode of The Simpsons. I know. Cultural blind spots right here. This is the podcast Cultural Blind Spots with Chase Smith. which actually, note to self, not a bad idea.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you'd have a lot to fill that podcast. Yeah, a lot of content.
Brendan Stimpy. Nothing.
Oh, we've moved on. That's fine.
Okay. But I feel like Simpsons is pretty big. Game of Thrones, pretty big. Haven't seen, like, Casablanca or Gone with the Wind. It's a Wonderful Life. All that's all the same movie to me.
You haven't seen It's a What? You're telling me Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, and It's a Wonderful Life are all just the same for you?
They all have the same, like, lead actor, and it's all the same movie to me, Damon.
Hi, listener, if you can hear my heart breaking, this heartbreak does feel good in a place like this. My goodness. they are not the same movie, Chase. They are cinematic masterpieces that, dare I say, is what led us to the MCU in the first place. Yeah, I'll say that.
I blame Citizen Kane.
Did you see Citizen Kane?
Yes, that was the first, like, you got to watch this movie, like, of that ilk that I watch. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Wow, the greatest film of all time. Wow. What is better than Citizen Kane? I dare you to answer. I'm so sorry. We're supposed to be talking about Marvel, but this has floored me. What would you rather watch instead of Citizen Kane? I'm fascinated.
Literally almost any movie.
Stuart Little? Would you rather watch Stuart Little?
Okay, that was on at a auto shop that I saw, and I was like, Gina Davis, really? Like Stuart Little?
That's his mom.
Yeah. Damon, I might watch Stuart Little before I watch Citizen Kane.
So my gripes with Phase 4, I'm just moving on. Phase 4. Also, the lack of connectivity between show and film. But then also a bigger thing is just like the impatience of Marvel fans. Because like my brother is also...
I love it. Yes.
Hanging on the fans.
Yeah.
Because my brother is also a big MCU fan. And he's like, what is this leading to? What's it going to? And I feel like I have to keep reminding him, like, we didn't start with, you know, Infinity War, Endgame. Like, it built up to that. Like, that's what this franchise does. And I think what we're watching, if I can, like a scientist, analyze this film franchise, it's like we're saying, we're discovering the new normal. We're starting over. So, like, it's a little bit more like where we were with like Iron Man 1, Captain America First Avenger, and the first Thor movie, where it's just kind of like, here's everybody in their own little movies. And there's these little Easter eggs here and there that will lead to something bigger in future films.
Yeah.
But I that's been my one gripe, is like everybody's just, I think, a little antsy for another Endgame. And I'm like, it's gonna be a minute. And I think we'll be, like you said, like we will look back fondly at this time. But for now, I think everybody is like just a little shifty eyed. And also, I don't know if you noticed, but everybody in America is a little paranoid these days. And
a little bit.
Everybody's like very quick to like, oh, what's the secret meeting? What are they hiding from us? It's like, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
Let's just relax and have fun and watch Christian Bale impersonate Nosferatu.
Yes. Well, let's talk about some of these movies, because since our last talk 4 months ago, gosh, we need to talk more than just this, Damon.
Nah.
You're like,
no.
talk with me after you've watched It's a Wonderful Life. That's kind of like...
Honestly, yes. I'm surprised you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life. I feel like you're a family man, and that movie's all about the family.
Okay. I do love my family.
Yes. Gotcha.
So...
Gotcha to admit that on mic.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit that. All right, so let's talk about these movies. I asked you a pre-show maybe to rank our Phase 4 movies, and we'll kind of talk from there. I wonder if we have the same list. What's your number 6?
Oh, thank you. Because I wanted to start at the bottom of the barrel. This is, you know, like that goopy black tar stuff at the bottom. You've been in a lot of barrels, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right at the bottom is Eternals. Okay. I've seen this movie twice, once in theaters and then once for the podcast 616.
That's right.
And it feels like a dream. I feel like I didn't see it, but every time I think about it, it just makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sadly, like, I do praise it. It's the one Marvel movie that's different than all the other ones. It doesn't follow the same formula. But as a result, I think it's so boring. I hate that Brian Tyree Henry, Fastos, doesn't show up until like the third act of the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like they wasted a Camille Nanjiani, especially after he got so fit and buff for the movie. He was just kind of comic relief. And Richard Madden, who I know you don't know this, but was on Game of Thrones.
Is that Icarus?
That was Icarus.
He was just like a blank slate.
A blank slate. Pure, boring blank slate. And honestly, sorry, I don't want to... It's my least favorite.
So I have Black Widow and Eternals at the bottom of the barrel as well.
Same.
I love the risk Eternals took, but that couldn't quite beat out what I just... Florence Pugh was so much fun in Black Widow, and single-handedly propelled out of Love Eternals with my Phase 4 rankings. She just crushed every scene she was in. She was so much fun in Black Widow and really saved that movie. Me and Leslie went to watch it. I think it was our first movie back in theaters after COVID.
I think for me as well, yeah.
I think we saw that in Green Knight, which I loved. Did you like Green Knight? Have you seen Green Knight?
I haven't seen Green Knight. I'm sorry.
Dude, Green Knight is I love Green Knight. It was awesome. Anyway.
Citizen Kane?
I would watch Green Knight a billion times before I'd watch Citizen Kane. Don't sleep on Green Knight, Damon.
Okay, so, Chase.
Yeah, I have Eternals 6 and Black Widow 5. I'm guessing your Black Widow is 5.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate Black Widow as much as I hated Eternals, but I, you know, just the whole prequel element and the fact that like none of it really mattered because we all know what happens to her. But I still like the story, and I'm glad she was given a film.
Mm-hmm. What do you have at number 4?
Ooh, this one flips and flops, but I do think I'm going to go with Thor, Love and Thunder at 4.
That's what I got.
Yeah. That's and you, I remember you loved it. You loved the kids shooting lasers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The Thor 4 kid army was the best. One of my favorite parts of the movie. It tried too hard.
Mm. Yeah.
It tried too hard, where I felt like Thor 3 was kind of effortless in its Thorness and its Taika Waititi-ness and its funniness. This, mm-hmm. I just felt like tried too hard, maybe a little too much Korg. It just tried too hard. And I think the novelty and the innocence of that, it's just, it's been a lot.
Chase Smith, I don't even know if I replied to this text, but I remember you said this. Explain to me how you felt about Russell Crowe's Zeus.
Oh, I don't remember. I
I believe you said it was too much, and I couldn't get enough. I would have replaced the amount of Korg with more Zeus.
That took me out of the movie. It was, what am I watching? It didn't sound serious to me. It didn't seem serious. What was he doing?
He was, for the first time in his life, he was having fun. Oh, I've never seen Russell Crowe have more fun than when he's telling people to go to the stage.
And so it was like the stage and talking about orgies and like flicking. Like that's
he flicked too hard.
He flicked too it was too much. That was just the epitome of trying too hard of Thor 4.
Fair. I do hear what you're saying about the comparison with like it was trying to do what Ragnarok started, mm-hmm. which I don't want to fault the movie too much because I love Ragnarok and
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's top 3 Marvel movie.
Yeah. Oh, same. It's so good. And it was just trying to like recreate the fun. And I don't know. I feel like with all the Thor movies, it's just he's just having one adventure after another. I don't know. I had a fun time.
Christian Bale was amazing. I did cry in Thor 4, Damon. I did cry. Me and Leslie, we did cry. All in the last like 5 minutes of the movie when Gore's daughter is drawn over Mjolnir and like not wearing the right shoes, and he's like, I'm not gonna feel bad for you. Like legit was not Mjolnir, but like we've lived that, Damon, so many times in our life. Just before we recorded, Lottie was down here and she mm-hmm. was being her Lottie self, and it was very much close to home.
I love that. Yeah, I did just watch a little bit of Thor 4 in your home. That's so nice.
Yeah, if I could have just watched 30 minutes of them getting ready for a battle, like in their little space mobile home thing, like that was awesome.
Yeah, truly.
All right, so Thor 4, and I feel like that's been pretty much the consensus around the like word on the streets is people kind of like that way with Thor 4.
Yeah, and I mean, and also I just also shout out to Natalie Portman. I know she's listening. She's
one of the 7 billion.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. She's a huge fan of you. She told me. But like the post-credit sequence where she shows up in Valhalla, I don't know. I feel like that's what a post-credit sequence should be. Mm-hmm. Doesn't set up a movie, doesn't introduce some...
That we know of.
True. But, you know, it's just nice, like, here's what happened to Jane. Here's a cameo from Idris Elba. Go home.
Yeah.
And I did.
Axel in the movie. All the kids, I was just, like, all about the kids. That was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. And Christian Bale was a delight.
A pure creepy delight.
Pure creepy delight. Number 3, Damon, I have Shang-Chi.
I have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Interesting. Okay. How? What do we do? Do we fight?
3 and 2 are really close. I loved Shang-Chi. I loved everything about it. I love the fight sequences. I love even at the end how we got to the dragon stuff. That didn't bother me. I love Simu Liu. I thought he killed it.
Amazing. So good.
Awkwafina. Pre this, I could only take little bits of Awkwafina at a time. But I did not mind her in this, and I thought she was great. And it was just so much fun. It was so, so, so much fun. I think coming off the heels of Black Widow as well.
That
was before Eternals. Like, it was just such a breath of fresh air, and it was new, and it was like, what is this? I love the family element to it. I like the familiarity. How do you say that word?
Familiarity.
It doesn't sound right. The familiarness of Doctor Strange.
Yes.
That's the only reason why Doctor Strange did connect a little bit to some of the previous work with WandaVision.
WandaVision, yes.
And Doctor I love Strange one. Raimi did and all that, but I want to hear why you have Strange 3 and Shang-Chi. I hope maybe 2. I don't know.
No, you're right. Yeah, I have inverted to you. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness is third from the top for me, just because it feels, I don't know, I feel unconvinced that that's it on Scarlet Witch. I feel like there's more to it. So I don't want to rank it too high, because that, like, the things I put at my 1 and 2, I feel like are complete stories.
Yes.
This one feels like it's gonna, there's something still lingering for it for me. And also, man, I really loved it, but I sometimes felt like it was trying to, like, well, Wanda's the villain and Doctor Strange is the hero. Like, yeah. It was a little too cookie cutter. I was like, no, it's complex. Wanda was going through something. Everyone needs to be nicer to her.
Yeah.
She's my friend. I'm so sorry to if you're not a Scarlet Witch fan, but
no, I love when people terrorize the multiverse. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
It sounds facetious to me, but I agree.
No, here's why I have, as much as I love Shang-Chi, there was never a moment in Shang-Chi where I was just pure like joy as when Mom Jean Wanda wrecked the Illuminati. Like, I never had that 15 minute, like, holy crap, they're doing this. This is amazing.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Like, the bus fight scene in Shang-Chi was great, but it wasn't like a major like decision of them. Like, it was an incredible fight, but to have Mom Jean Wanda take all these iconic characters that people have been wanting to see on screen and then just wreck them. Damon, in the theater, it was as quiet and as like shocking as the snap with Infinity War. Like, that's what it was like, but it was condensed and it just wouldn't stop. And it was awesome. I loved it. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Interesting. I was very sad to see all those characters die, especially Professor X.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll mention that in the pre-roll.
Please.
But no, I mean, it was obviously really sad and you just didn't think it was going to happen. And then to like, just like his neck, like that was just, oh my gosh, dude.
Once again, destroyed by a red head, super being.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to X-Men 3 Last Stand. If anybody remembers. Right.
I haven't seen that forever. Anytime a movie makes a decision like that, I love, like, and The Last Jedi, when Rey thought she exploded the ship and she thought she killed Chewie, like, as much as that like was shocking, I was so excited that they were taking that step. Like, that is just incredible. Wow. And that just didn't happen in The Last Jedi, but they did it here.
That's so interesting. I feel this, our list makes perfect sense, because I think we both have the same number one. And I feel like it feels like you champion the really like harsh, shocking moments, and I champion the fun, joyful moments. And I think our number one, it shares both. It's both like shocking, but also joyful. And
yes,
has a good celebratory moment at the end. Do you want to reveal what the number one is?
Spider-Man. No Way Home was. And I think more so, like, I love a theater experience.
Truly.
And I had incredible theater experiences with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. And Shang-Chi was great. But those communal experiences, I still get goosebumps when those in-game clips make the rounds of like audience reactions. Damon, I still get goosebumps, and I've teared up multiple times when Mjolnir goes to Cap or when he says Avengers Assemble and the music soars. Like, I still get goosebumps. It was incredible.
On your left. I mean,
oh my gosh.
How about it? Yeah, there's truly, I mean, there's nothing like it. Like watching these movies in theaters, like just hearing people clap and cheer. And, you know, one of my guests on the podcast, 616 podcast, was saying, like, even though she's not like a big fan, she still loves to go to see them in theaters just to like experience. Cause you're right, it is like such a communal experience to see these movies. And I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home, I mean, you got Toby Maguire's.
There's a lot of pops.
Andrew Garr, Tom Hall.
Yep.
Great. That was good. I'm not even going to finish their names.
Yeah. 45 minutes into that movie. Because they had the Doc Ock reveal in the trailer, so that wasn't a huge pop. People were like clapped. They felt like an obligatory clap. Like it was just like,
We knew.
Yeah, there he is. Good job.
Yeah.
There was some ooze when he took over the suit, because that wasn't in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But going into it, no spoiler, not knowing what to expect, seeing Garfield, seeing Toby, the place was going bonkers, and then there was this energy the rest of the film, and through the like Garfield saving MJ moment was just an incredible experience, and it's number one for me in this phase for sure.
And I mean, the only Spider-Man film brave enough to take out Aunt May. No other franchise.
I welcomed that. That was something needed to happen.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So those are the movies. Wakanda Forever, I feel like,
could crossed.
Threaten the number one spot, Damon.
It could. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited and hopeful.
Yeah. Before we take a break, I want to touch on the Disney Plus shows, because there's been a handful of them. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-ish, 9 starting back from March 2021. That's a lot of content of phase for Disney Plus shows. People don't seem to really enjoy them. I like them a lot. I liked Hawkeye. I liked Moon Knight.
Really? That's the one I feel like people are like divisive the most on.
Well, if you think about why I liked Shang-Chi, and why I like the like decisions they made in Doctor Strange, I just had no clue what was going on. And I just felt like it was just like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to let Oscar Isaac cook for 8 or 9 episodes, however long it was. And it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed it. I didn't know what was going on at all, but I liked it.
Oh, same. Yeah. Love Moon Knight. I think with the shows, there's two types of MCU Disney Plus shows. There's like the shows, and then the shows that should have been movies.
Yeah.
That they try to stretch over 6 episodes.
Yeah. Was that Moon Knight? Was Moon Knight 6 episodes?
That one might have been 8.
I don't remember.
I know. It might have been 10 either.
I'm not the one who's hosting a Marvel podcast. I figured yeah. Something.
Don't you forget it.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite Phase 4 TV show?
I mean, someone asked me this recently. About the TV shows, and I feel like for just to be a part of the conversation, you have to watch WandaVision. I feel like that's like mandatory viewing. But in terms of like my go ahead.
I think it's mandatory viewing for Phase 4. I think there's another Phase 4 show that'll be mandatory for Phase 5.
Ooh. Oh, I think I know which one are you thinking of. Loki.
I'm thinking of Loki.
Yeah. I think that's the way I feel about Doctor Strange: The Multiverse of Madness is how I feel about Loki. I feel like it's not done. There's more to that story. So I'm like, kind of like, I'm going to keep my hands off until I know where it's going before I like give a full final review on it. So I understand with Loki, but I would say like my favorite MCU, is Loki your favorite?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have these rated. We really liked Hawkeye. We had a ton of fun watching that show.
I was going to say, yeah. I think Hawkeye might be Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel. I really love those two.
We haven't gotten through Ms. Marvel. We keep falling asleep. Sorry.
Wow. Did we all hear that?
I did. If they were like 28 minutes, we could do it, but they're pretty long and it's a certain type of show it's like the first Spider-Man, but like on steroids, like that kind of like high school awkward, like
awkward teen. Yeah. Tries to save the, yeah. I will give you this. I will agree. Episode one, I loved. Mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4, not great. 5 and 6, slam dunks.
Okay. We'll power through.
Which again, I believe Ms. Marvel is one of the shows that could have been a movie.
Yeah.
But I really think they really stuck the landing on that one. Okay. Especially, can I give you a spoiler to entice you?
I think I've heard about the mutant tie-in, right?
Yeah, there's that.
Spoil more. I'm excited.
Yeah. I have thoughts on that mutant thing. But I mean, Brie Larson, she shows up at the end.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And I believe, because next year we get the Marvels movie, and I believe the last scene of Ms. Marvel looks like it's going to be the first scene of the Marvels movie.
Cool. Did you like Captain Marvel?
Listeners who have been keeping up with my podcast, well, we just released that episode this past Monday. By that past Monday, I mean 8:15. Did I like Captain Marvel? No. Do I like Captain Marvel? Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed the movie. The character. I don't know much about Captain Marvel. I enjoyed it. But then again, I'm just a movie plebe who hasn't even seen It's a Wonderful Life. So Hawkeye is our It's a Wonderful Life, Damon. That's our Christmas feel good.
That's okay to say, but you need to watch It's a Wonderful Life.
We'll watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Because you're correct, but I know you don't know why you're correct because you haven't seen the movie. This is... I am flabbergasted.
All right. Well, hey, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Phase 5 and beyond, the multiverse saga, and then kind of, you know, ask your opinion on some future important characters, because I think they're trying to build up this new team and who's in charge. We'll talk about that and more on the Chase Smith podcast. All right, we're back. Damon Royster, host of the podcast 616, right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. Damon, thanks for talking to me tonight. I know we just had a ton of fun talking about Phase 4, and I have blown your brain about what movies I haven't seen and my cultural blind spots. Thanks for still being my friend, though, through all that.
It's okay. I punched a hole in the wall.
Maybe we can get someone to come fix that. I want to talk about Phase 5. We're talking about all Marvel. I'm excited about Phase 5. I'm excited about the multiverse saga, Damon. Mm-hmm. Kang the Conqueror is here.
Ooh, he's here. We haven't even met him. We've met his, what are they calling these doppelgangers?
He remains from Loki, the variant.
The variant, yes. We met a variant of him. Mm-hmm.
Who said, if you think I'm bad, you won't like my... alternate selves or whatever. That's in Loki. And we just said WandaVision is must-see content for Phase 4. I think Loki is going to be must-see content for Phase 5 and probably already is. If you like, you want to start this Phase 5, where are we at? I would say check out Loki, check out Spider-Man No Way Home and Doctor Strange would be the two kind of like multiversal content you have to see going into Phase 5.
Yeah, definitely that, because I mean, I think the first movie of Phase 5 is going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp, where Kang will be the villain of the movie.
So we've got to start seeing tie-ins soon. Like, there's something that's got to start happening.
It has to. It simply has to.
Literally has to.
Yeah.
I mean, again, just kind of raises the expectation for Wakanda Forever that it's just kind of, you would think, have all these things.
I feel, again, if I was Ryan Coogler, I don't know if I would want to tack on the multiverse into, well, I don't know, maybe that's how we get, I don't know, maybe they try to explore the multiverse for a new T'Challa, but who knows.
Phase 5, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2023. That's going to be in the spring, I believe. And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy in 2023. We have the Marvels, which we mentioned a little bit ago, 2023. There's a little tie-in there with WandaVision.
Yeah, that's right. Monica Rambeau.
Blade's coming in 2023. A new Captain America, New World Order in 2024. Thunderbolts, 2024. And then I think we're really going to see an elevated Disney Plus offering. I think Secret Invasion could be really cool. Loki season 2. We have Echo, which is a spinoff of Hawkeye. If you haven't seen Hawkeye, check it out.
It's just like It's a Wonderful Life.
It's just like It's a Wonderful Life. Is it really though? Like, was that like a happy accident?
I mean, no, there's no guardian angels and there's no alternate realities, but you know, it's about a guy just trying to make it home and for Christmas to be with his family.
It really is. So that's why he says when he gets home, "It's a Wonderful Life, kids." Credits, yeah. For Hawkeye. That's it, right?
That's exactly, man. You say you haven't seen the film, but that's exactly that's right.
Yeah. Ironheart, which I have no idea what Ironheart is, a series coming to Disney Plus that stars Dominic Thorne, a genius inventor who creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man.
Which we will first meet this character, Riri Williams, who is Ironheart. We will first meet her in Wakanda Forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Agatha, Coven of Chaos, which is a WandaVision spinoff, which I'm sure these will do the whole like first four episodes, prelude, prologue, like where we're at. But then we'll probably get future content the last couple episodes.
Yeah. Almost
like an extended post-credit scene, but like they're not going to spend the whole amount of time in the past, you don't think, right? Like they learned a lesson from Black Widow. Like these all is what Black Widow should have been.
Right. Yeah. I hope not. I don't think I would find I'm not interested in finding out how Marvel wants to deal with like the Salem witch trials. I'm good.
Oh, that's good. And then Daredevil kind of wraps up the Disney Plus TV shows in 2024 as well.
Yeah. Can't believe Daredevil's back.
Daredevil is back. We saw him in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He is going to be in She-Hulk at some point. We don't know. You've seen episode one. Is he in episode one?
He is not in episode one.
Okay. The Hulk is. But
the Hulk is, and Jamila Jamil's character, Titania, is in there.
Interesting.
For all you Titania fans.
Phase 5 is just right around the corner. I'm excited. Do you think this will kind of make a lot of Phase 4 make sense? Do you think this is kind of like what they're like, if they're thinking, if we can just get through 2022, people are going to like see where it all kind of comes together here?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I definitely think things will be a lot more clearer. So, you know, to quell the fans' anger, like already in like the first episode of She-Hulk, there's just a lot of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of lines. And like a lot of things get explained, especially about like the Hulk. Because the few times we've seen Bruce Banner, sometimes he's not the Hulk, sometimes he is the Hulk. So they kind of answer what's going on with that. And I think they're just going to continue to like, you know, smooth out the edges of what's been going on in Phase 4.
The multiverse saga includes Phase 5 and Phase 6. There's not a lot of info in Phase 6. But what do you think we're all gearing up for? What is Phase 5 pointing towards? Like, what does Kang the Conqueror being in the MCU, what does that mean for the MCU?
I mean, I think it's going to blow up the world a lot more. I think we're going to see a lot more cameos. But I also think, you know, let's not sleep on the mysterious Julia Louis-Dreyfus who's out there. I think, like, much in the way, you know, the whole Civil War plot, you know, like the Sokovia Accords was kind of like the Earth level story. I think there's going to be potentially some Dark Avengers things happening. I think that movie Thunderbolt is probably going to delve into that. So I think we're going to, I think this phase five is going to like maybe wrap up that plot and then also drop some Easter eggs that will lead us into phase six with King the Conqueror.
People are just jonesing for some X-Men content in MCU, and they're not giving us anything. They're giving all these Easter eggs. They're just like toying with us, Damon. When is X-Men going to enter the MCU for real?
I think it's coming. Everybody calm down. I, for one, I'm fine. The X-Men, that's like its own exhaustive, you know, mythology with characters. I'm good with all the clowns I got to deal with on the Avengers side of things. I don't need more clowns, Chase.
Are the Avengers and X-Men friends for people who like just aren't like aware? Like, are they friends? Do they get along or do they battle? Like, what's going to happen with the chemistry here when the X-Men are introduced?
Honestly, can I make a very Chicago comparison?
Yes, Chicago comedy comparison? I love this. Yes.
The X-Men are like Second City performers and the Avengers are like Saturday Night Live who come in and poach Second City people from Chicago and pull them out of there to join the ranks of the more successful Saturday Night Live crew. That I feel like I also just summed up my whole life journey because that's where my mind immediately goes.
I get it. I don't know if anyone else will.
Google it.
Well, 7 billion people, a lot of people are going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Help each other out.
Yeah. The show's been on for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. And they've probably heard of Second City. They've definitely heard of Chicago.
Are you saying your show has been on for 50 years?
No, SNL.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. Yep.
All right. So the Avengers are SNL. Mm-hmm. And X-Men is Second City.
Yeah. I stand by that because improvisers are freaks.
Is Lauren Nick Fury?
Yes.
It's amazing. So I just want to keep going. Who's okay. Tina Fey? And like, who's Tina Fey?
Oh, who's Tina Fey is Jean Grey.
Okay. All right. Who's Colin Jost?
Colin Jost. So he's an Avenger. Oh, Captain America, obviously.
Ugh.
Oh.
Why'd you have to do that to Captain America?
I mean, does anyone else fit the bill easier than that?
No.
Michael Che, the Falcon. Boom.
Keenan
Thompson, the Hulk, because he's indestructible.
Pete Davidson.
Who don't I like? Pete Davidson is Phil Coulson.
I got a little Iron Man vibes.
You get some Iron Man from Pete Davidson,
just like that. Like, I'm gonna do what I want. I don't care what anyone else thinks.
I'll give you Spider-Man. I'll give you that Pete Davidson is Spider-Man.
Whoa, no way. Spider-Man's too innocent.
People
Andrew just mukes as Spider-Man.
he hasn't been on the show long enough to earn any title.
Bro, he had an awesome season last year.
Well, actually, yeah, and actually Pete Davidson is no longer on SNL, so yes.
That's also correct. Do we need to record an SNL episode?
Where we compare SNL cast members to superheroes and we just become the nerdiest people in America? No. I don't think we need to do that.
Do you watch SNL?
I do. It's never like it's never number one on my list, but I try to keep up.
Mm. I love SNL.
Yeah.
Damon, watch it every weekend as soon as we can. We can't watch it live, unfortunately, in New York or on TV. I still love it. I get defensive when people say it's not funny.
It's funny. I laugh.
And I just appreciate not only how they turn it around in 6 days, not only the set design, the costume, the makeup, all of it. I'm just in awe of everything. I think it's an incredible snapshot of culture at the time. And it's so like hit or miss. Like, you know, writing, you're never gonna, like, every joke you write's not gonna be funny. Every show is not gonna
be
funny.
You.
I know, right? Here I go again.
But you're right. Yeah.
But when you do catch those shows that are great, or the really crappy show with one awesome sketch, or when something crazy happens on air, you're like, this is great because it's live. And it's mm-hmm. just I just there's nothing like it on TV at all.
True. Very true.
And I'm waiting for you to get on it, Damon. That's what I'm waiting.
I'm too old.
Too old.
And I moved in the opposite direction.
That's true.
I'm physically too far away. But they can find me if they want to.
Did you ever, like, do you ever miss those stories of when you're in Chicago, like the whispers of, oh, hey, Lauren's in the basement, or I ran into Seth Meyers in the bathroom or whatever. Like, I feel like it happened like once every couple months, and it was just like always fun just to like bask in those stories.
Oh yeah. My friend, Evan Mills, one of my first podcast guest, he was texting me with Lauren. Well, Lauren wasn't there, but people from SNL were in Chicago mm-hmm. earlier this month, and there's some people flying out.
Do you like friends?
I could say hi to them.
Main stage people?
I'm trying to think, who are the two? I couldn't believe it. They're not main stage. I think there's one touring company guy and another guy who I could not believe, and I was very upset.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love this. David, you know how badly I want to stop recording and just
let me look up his first and last name.
All right. Well, we are just tangentially away from Marvel anything. And I welcome it because I love SNL. Okay. Let's wrap it up here.
Okay.
You can tell me this name later because I don't want to.
Cool. I have the name.
Okay. I can't wait. Through all of a lot of these shows, you shared who we've lost, the Avengers we've lost. There's a lot of like bringing up new characters, creating new characters, replacing old characters. Who are some of the most important superheroes that we will see here in Phase 5, like that will hold prominence Ooh. In the MCU? I'm not talking five. Like War Machine, like the secondary heroes, like who are like yeah. the like main titled pulls, draws that's going to like, who are those characters?
I mean, I think definitely, I'm going to say Miss Marvel. I think she really is. Because
that big?
I think she's going to be that big. I think it's the hope. I mean,
wow.
I think, you know, don't sleep on Miss Marvel. There you go.
Okay. All right.
I think she's a delightful person. I think this is a situation where the actress is so delightful and charming that I think everyone wants to work with her. So I think, I mean, we're going to see with the Marvels to see how she does. But I also think we're going to see the rise of Florence Pugh's Black Widow character. I think she's really interesting. She's somebody who is so clearly going to be a hero, but so has officially stated she doesn't want to be a superhero the way she makes fun of like the superhero stance.
Right.
So I think we're going to see the rise of her, and I don't know, maybe Blade. I don't know how I feel about vampires being a thing, but maybe we see Mahershala Ali's Blade take over the MCU.
No love for America Chavez? I mean, literally has multiverse power, Damon. I was trying to give you a softball here.
America Chavez, I love the jacket, I love the powers. We're cool. I need to see more. 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 I just need to see more.
I think we'll see more. I think we will. I think she's going to play a role in Ant-Man 2 or 3 or 4. What Ant-Man are we at now? Unbelievable.
Three.
That is wild.
Yeah. There's
three Ant-Man movies.
He's so small. You never notice.
That's true. I think Shang-Chi is going to be big.
I was
excited when Wong came and got him, but mm-hmm. just nothing with that still, which is like a head scratcher.
Well, so that's a fun thing. In She-Hulk, Wong is going to show up, and I think the Abomination. We might get explanation why Wong and the Abomination were wrestling in Shang-Chi.
So they're just retconning all of these like random things they decide to throw in these movies with these TV shows.
Well, yeah, it's their stuff.
It's true.
They can put whatever they want together.
No love for the new Hawkeye.
Haley Steinfeld, you know, hey babe, and what's up? I'm so sorry. I know you're listening too. I need to see more. I haven't seen enough. I have not seen enough.
There was some concept art released with Kang. Did you see it?
No.
With some Avengers fighting, and that Hawkeye is Haley's Hawkeye's there.
Wow. I think with Haley's Hawkeye, which I love that that's her name, Haley's Hawkeye and America Chavez, I think what for me, they were both kind of like in trouble and needed an Avenger to help them. So I think what I need is I need to see them like solve a situation on their own, which, yes, Haley Hawkeye, she fought off Kingpin, but she didn't finish the job. That's why there's another Daredevil. So I just want to see them be freaking heroes.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, then I'll be excited.
Well, they got to learn. They got to like, they can't just be super right away. I mean, everyone...
exactly. And therefore I don't have to like them right away.
That's true. That's true. You haven't seen that concept art?
I have not. Do you have it? Are you going to send it to me?
I'm trying to pull it up. I'll send it to you. Yeah. But it is like this artist renditions of what, like they're going for, and she's one of the ones that's around Kang doing her thing. Wow. The bow and arrow.
Shooting the arrow.
Yep. Well, Damon, I am so grateful that I am grateful. Nay, the world. That doesn't even make sense. I had to throw it in there one more time, though. We are all grateful, all 7 billion of us, that you came here tonight to talk about Marvel Phase 4 and Phase 5. And that does it for this episode of the Chase Smith Podcast. Thank you all so much for downloading and listening. Shouts to the Press Play Podcast Network for making this possible. Follow us online at Press Play Pods. Visit our website at pressplaypodcast.com to keep up with our shows, network news, and sponsorship information. Don't forget, listeners of this pod receive 10% off the Busy Bitch program with Uproar Coaching by using promo code P3 at checkout. Visit uproarcoaching.com to learn more. You can find all that in the show notes. Damon, plug something for us, man. Plug something. What you got?
Oh my gosh. If you listen to this podcast, you better please listen to Podcast 616. You can listen to Podcast 616 on any streaming platform, Spotify and iTunes, as far as I know. Please follow Podcast 616 at Podcast 616P3 on Twitter. Love to see you there. And yeah, if you're in LA, I'll say this is a new development. The first Wednesday of every month, you can see the Illuminati Hour, which is a comedy show I do with my friend Elizabeth Andrews at the Yard Theater.
Damon,
you're gonna love
thank you so much. Dude, you're the man, and I always have so much fun talking to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chase. Same to you.
All right.